up call.
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, good Wednesday morning to you. Thanks for joining us. Hey, we've got the good, the bad, the dumb coming up here in hour number two. Also, kind of look ahead a little bit in the NFL. It was one of those, the Monday night game with the Steelers and the Bears had the Steelers picking up their fifth win of the season. And oh my, there are just a ton of five-win teams now in the AFC. And so we will have top five, bottom five, because we missed it yesterday. So we're going to go pick one. But my God, it's really hard. This is where it gets a little bit more collegiate, if you will. Where you take a Buffalo Bills 5-3 and you compare it to somebody else's 5-3. How about the Patriots at 5-4 and the Browns at 5-4? Where would you put any of these teams? Look, the Steelers, for example, are a 5-3 team, right? But the Bills are 5-3. Now, the Steelers own the head-to-head matchup with Buffalo. They beat them in week one. Now, if I was on the college football playoff committee, I would have the Steelers ahead of Buffalo based on that criteria. But if I was another member of the playoff committee that is going more on the idea of, well, how does this 5-3 team look? And how does that 5-3 team look? I would dump the head-to-head and I would say Buffalo is a better looking 5-3. That is what you want when you have a committee coming together to pick college football. There are just so many variables. The records are about the same. Not all the records are equal in terms of strength. You get these head-to-head matchups and maybe common opponents. But the reality of it is that you should be looking at a team that says, look, what are the circumstances behind this team being 8-1? For example, how did they get their 8 wins? And here's the other question. How did they get their 1 loss? And those are the questions that you really want to dive deeper into. If you go down the road of this team beat this team beat this team beat this team by beat this team, before you know it, you're making an argument that University of Southern Utah is better than Alabama. Like, it works in weird ways. Just go to the give me your loss. What exactly occurred there? Were you missing a starting quarterback? Those are the questions that you want to have the committee answer. Not going head-to-head versus this common opponent. It's too complex.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, good, the bad, and the dumb. Did you have good and the bad and the dumb yesterday?
Yeah, Eitan. Eitan requested
it. He likes
it.
That. He
does.
I know.
He
it's
likes
a popular
that type of thing.
Segment. He does like that type of thing. Him and I are very similar in style.
Yeah.
When it comes,
he liked that type of thing. And we had some fun ones.
Yes.
No, talked about.
I love it. I love doing these kind of things. So I'm glad you do it when he fills in.
Yeah. I only
but
do
just,
it with
you know,
him.
Don't make it a habit.
No, I only do it with him. Everyone
Matt
else, you know.
Matt Pauly needs to, like, earn the right to have good, the bad, and the dumb.
Well, it doesn't fit. I don't think it fits his personality.
Yeah,
see,
yeah.
I've tried it with other people, and then they just, you know, they fall flat.
Yes.
It's like, no. These are, you know, I'm just bringing up stories for have fun conversations, and we can just jump off the rails a little bit.
All right. Yeah, very good. Yeah.
You know.
So they may be more comfortable with going, you know, dealing with Gonzaga's backcourt depth.
Exactly.
Than, you know, then some wacky good.
But y'all just take your
story.
Word for it as a thing.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah. They played Dixie State last night. I didn't even know what Dixie State was.
That's not a real college.
I think it's in St. George, Utah.
You're making things up, man.
All right. What is the good of the day?
The good of the day. You have to bear with me a little bit on this one, but the good of the day, do you remember it was back in 2018 when Team LeBron was taking on Team Giannis? In the 2018 NBA All-Star Game.
I do remember it. I don't remember the details.
Yeah, I know you know, the game doesn't matter because NBA All-Star Games are terrible anyways. But do you remember? You probably remember this beginning.
That our flag was still there. Oh, say, does that
Yeah, I do remember that.
Kind of remember that a little bit?
Yeah, I do remember that.
Well, the good of the day is that has been turned into a children's book.
Has it really?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Because basically what someone did was take her words and illustrate it.
So she, yeah, because she was kind of making it blend with different words.
Yeah, it's just funny.
Let me just clarify this. This is what we do. We're rolling along the highway. Benny and the Jets comes on from Elton John, and we're like, I give you nine, y'all son, stick around.
Oh, of course.
Right?
Yes.
We all do that. We all go, I don't know the words, but I'm going to go with the melody of the song, filling in the blanks as I go. That's kind of what she did here.
Yeah.
Right?
It's fantastic.
So, is it out yet, or is it going to be?
I think you can get it here.
I kind of want to see this.
You know, I mean, there's a video that you can see where a guy is just, starts off with, whoa, say, can you see, right? By the Doors.
Yeah, this is great.
Early Lie.
This is great.
What's So Prowl? And when you say What's So Prowl, there's a picture of a cat.
Right.
You know, or At the Twilight's Last, which is just, Glee mean. So it's a picture of Glee, the character from Glee, the TV show.
I'm loving this. I'm absolutely loving this.
So, I mean, it's just, Through the Pear. So it's a picture of a pear. Roll Us. It's a bunch of roly-polies. Phi.
Oh,
the Greek
perfect.
Symbol for pie.
Perfect.
So, I mean, you can have some fun with this. And then there's like a weird belting thing, and it says, oh, or the startled cat.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know what it is singers do this. They think they can just sing their way out of lyric trouble.
Yeah.
If they just roll the vowels and curl the R's a little bit and extend a little bit of the ending, they can just sort of bail themselves out of whatever, the fact that they don't know the lyrics.
Yeah, one of them is just three pages of her just going, hey.
That's awesome.
He just flips, the guy's flipping through the pages as the music or as the national anthem is playing. So
that's great.
Fun video. Maybe it's a Christmas present coming to you.
Hope they make $1 million with this idea.
Yeah, brilliant. You know what? And honestly, think about this. If you're going to a white elephant Christmas party, perfect gift.
That is a perfect gift. That's true. That's very true.
Yeah.
All right. So what's the bad of the day?
Well, the bad of the day, we could talk about Aaron Rodgers only being fined $14,000 for violating protocol.
Yeah, he probably has it in his back pocket.
Yeah.
Was he probably just going, wait a minute, hold on, I think I got that. He got changed for $1,500?
Yeah, exactly. I said, or we can bring up the fact that Oscar Pistorius, remember him?
Yes.
The Blade Runner?
What's up with that?
Is eligible for parole after 8 years, just 8 years after killing his girlfriend.
Well, he did his time for
which,
killing
Which, by the
a
way,
human being.
It does not feel like that's been 8 years.
No, it does
that
not.
That really bothered me.
That does not.
But the bad of the day is an asteroid that just missed planet Earth, the one that we occupy.
Right.
And no one saw it.
We're not doing good with this. I feel like we have this story every now and then where it's like an asteroid came and it's too late.
It was
not too late, but it's right there. We missed it.
It was the third closest in recorded history. Now, the good news is that they say it was only 6.5 meters long. I'm not sure what that means. But it was only like 6.5 meters in diameter. And it cruised by Antarctica. So even if it came in, they said most likely at the rate of speed it was coming in, it would have burnt up into several other pieces and just attacked Antarctica. But had it fallen over a residential section, even though burning up, it could have caused some issues. It was
a 6 meter wide asteroid, if it landed in your backyard, would obliterate your neighborhood.
Well, they compare it to, you remember a couple years ago when that asteroid fell in Russia?
Yes.
And then it just shattered like windows all over the place and people had like minor injuries and stuff like that. It would have been one of those situations.
Okay. Maybe I'm over dramatizing an asteroid hit.
No, but the issue that, the reason why this is bad is because the reason why no one saw it is because it came in the direction of the sun, which apparently is a blind spot.
Why don't we have like super radar, sonar, bounce things off, ultra-wave? I don't know what the science is, but why do we need to... Is what the sun get in our eyes? Is that how this is?
Don't we have a way to kind of maneuver away from the sun? Or not? The planet can't maneuver away from the sun, obviously. But isn't there a way for us to figure that out?
Well, yeah, because an asteroid coming directly at the Earth would just kill us all. Wouldn't you like to be like, I wish we could have warned everybody, but the ball of fire in the sky, man. Yeah.
I lost
hard
it.
To see.
You know, I lost it in the sun. Like,
I
come
lost
on.
It in the
we
sun.
We can't use that excuse, kids.
Exactly.
So, that's
like
kind
when a
of
baseball
a big
player
deal.
Says that, which is a legitimate excuse, by the way, we still go, too bad. We're not.
No, we make that. We make a joke about it all the time.
Yeah, sorry.
You know, we'll say, you know, I'll say it to my my son. It's like, oh, you know, if he doesn't miss pop flies anymore. But when he did at the beginning and it was a night game, I said, oh, did you lose it in the sun? He's like, yeah, Dad, I lost it in the sun.
Right. So don't do that.
So, yeah. And NASA, don't lose asteroids in the sun.
Listen, I got enough to worry about. Please tell me somebody in the world is on top of this so I don't have to stress about asteroids surprising us with 3 days warning.
Yeah.
I can only go to Costco so many times and we not, and the supply that chain is down.
To be honest with you, that's a fear of mine. That's the one thing in Armageddon that disturbs me the most. When they know an asteroid is coming and they are planning like months in advance. And he says no one can detect it. There's only nine telescopes that could detect it on planet Earth, and we control 8 of them.
Right.
And then they don't let us know until like, oh, by the way, something that we've been trying to figure out for a long time. Yeah, it'll be here in 3 days.
Yeah, like in Deep Impact when Morgan Freeman like tells the we couldn't do it. So God bless you. You're on your own. We got these caves. You're the people that are going to the caves. And well, good luck. That's it.
It's
frightening.
It scares me.
Absolutely. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day is Jason Pierre-Paul. Remember him?
Blew a firecracker in his hand and won a Super Bowl, didn't he?
He has given us an update on the worst injury of his life.
Oh, why wouldn't this be number one?
It's not. Losing a finger is not the worst injury in his life. Breaking his neck in a car crash because he failed to wear a seatbelt is also not the worst injury of his life.
Okay, so broke his neck, blew a firecracker in his hand that caused amputation.
Yeah.
What's the worst injury then?
Torn rotator cuff.
Really?
Yeah, that's what presently he is dealing with, and he says that the pain is unbearable and it keeps him up at night sometimes.
Okay, quick question. All right, I'm trying to dissect this a little bit. Is it similar to when somebody breaks a leg and goes, yeah, but the worst injury I ever had was when my tooth was driving into my... is it a nerve thing?
That's what I started thinking about, too, because they always say a stab wound hurts less than a paper cut.
Right.
Because a paper cut just stings for days because of, all the exposed nerve endings. The stab cut is just like, boom, right through. Right. He also suffered a horrible leg injury in high school that ended his, potential basketball career. And that's why he chose football.
Yeah.
But I'll be honest with you, man. If I'm losing a digit, I think that's the worst injury ever.
Anytime I get an injury on my hand, I mean, blister, cut, whatever, it's because all the nerves there, it feels like it's just like, this is annoying.
Yeah.
I have admitted to my wife where I've been like, you see that cut? That's I can't handle
it. Well, okay.
Like a little kid with that, but it's like right on my fingertip or it's right on my hand or something. So I would think the firecracker exploding would just send all sorts of nerve endings screaming in agony.
Well, okay. It's been well documented on this show, right? You're talking about, a little paper cut or a little cut on, maybe it was a kitchen knife cut. Was that worse than your knee injury?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Like the knee injury was what hurt. And then after a while, the adrenaline sort of kicked in and it didn't really hurt as much. But.
So maybe there's something to this. Maybe I'm being too hard on him because I would figure losing a finger would be worse than a torn rotator cuff.
I would think that the nerves in his hand, losing it with the blown hand, would have just. Drove him mentally insane.
And what about phantom pain? That's my biggest fear. My biggest thing, like when you hear people like who've lost a limb, lost a leg, and they're like, feels like my toes itch. I don't have toes, though.
I don't like that.
Like, I couldn't deal with that.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I mean, I agree, though. That torn rotator cuff, let me just make this clear. I don't know. I've never had a torn rotator cuff. But I know, I've heard athletes talk about it. they never act like it's the worst agonizing thing that has ever happened to them. Like, I hear pitchers get it all the time. I've never heard them say, and I can't live with the pain. It's like, I have a torn rotator cuff. Oh, well, I'll get it fixed. But if you've gotten a broken neck and a blown off hand, and then what did the torn rotator cuff feel like?
If that's worse.
Like, if I can't describe it in any other way more horrific than the other two injuries that he had. You know? God, Jason Pierre-Paul. Yep. Maybe he's trolling us. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, it's a great answer. I mean, I had really bad shoulder injury, and, you know, that required surgery. I don't think I tore my rotator cuff. I mean, I remember the doctor saying, yeah, pretty much everything you did to your shoulder, you possibly could do to your shoulder, you did. I don't remember it hurting that much. I remember.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like it, you know.
Just being laid up for a long time.
All right. Well, I'll take his word for it.
I would think of losing something would be bigger. I don't know.
All right. That's the good, the bad, and the dumb. All right. Coming up next, one other thing that happened over the weekend, lost in all the college football and NFL games, was a redemption story. I'll tell you about it next on Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue along on Wake Up Call. Real quick, before we get to this next little angle of the weekend of sports, I'm dealing with a kind of a family emergency right now, but I was also out for a couple of days because I kind of developed a cold, a really bad cold, and I've got the remnants of that cold, like I'm coughing still. And I don't get this, Ron. It's 2021. Halls, Vicks, name me other some cough drop people.
Ludens.
Stop lying to
Ricola.
Us. Stop lying to us. When you sell a package and you go cherry or lemon tea, it all tastes like crap.
Yeah.
None of them taste good. Like, I'm popping these cough drops and I'm like, oh, well, at least it's berry flavored. Oh, it's not berry flavored. It's medicine. They're all garbage. Like, I mean, after a while, your body goes, stop taking these.
Yeah, the only
They're
thing,
disgusting.
The only thing I'm looking for is that, like, that menthol.
Yeah,
feeling.
Might as well just dive right in. Like, if you give me the menthol where it can open up a little bit of the passages.
Yeah.
That's okay. All.
It's the only thing I really care about. I don't care what kind of flavor you're telling me it is. Maybe it's there to trick your mind, like, oh, this is cherry. Wow.
Right, exactly. It's the same thing with cough syrup. They're like, in tasty grape. It doesn't taste like grape. Like, grape is Kool-Aid. Like, I like that. Or grape is like an Otter Pop. I'll take that. It doesn't taste like that. Just say, you know what? We did the best we could. It's medicine.
It's medicine.
Suck it up. Just take a spoonful of sugar and let it go down the drain. Right? Like, oh, like during the break, I just sucked on it was lemon honey cough drop. I tasted neither the lemon nor the honey, but I certainly got a mouthful of medicine.
Is that Ricola?
I think it was Halls.
Halls, okay.
Yeah. Just don't lie to us. Just don't put it. Just say, you know what? You need it. Here, it's whatever it is. You know what you should do? Wouldn't it be funny if a company came out with cough drops mystery flavor? You don't know what you're going to get.
And it's just white?
It's just white. You don't know what you're going to get. Could be cherry.
You know what? Honestly,
at least what we call cherry.
That's probably a healthier way, because who knows what kind of chemicals in the dye they put in to make it red.
Without question.
Or purple or whatever.
Oh, I got to get to this O'Reilly read. Are your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking? Don't compromise your visibility with streaks or smearing on your windows. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. The professional parts people will help you navigate their wide selection to find just the right wiper blades for your vehicle. O'Reilly Auto Parts will even install your wiper blades free of charge. See better and drive safer with new wiper blades at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. I had new wiper blades put in not that long ago as we were driving down to Florida, caught a little bit of rain, and the wiper blades were great. So remember, change your wiper blades. Oh, not to keep going on tangents. When we went to go get an oil change for my car, so my wife had to go take the car in to get oil change while I was busy dealing with the situation with my family. They asked my wife if we wanted the cabin filter changed. And I went, she said, yeah, I guess. the cabin filter was black. I had never changed it.
No. Oh.
It seems like that's a thing you do if you're not familiar with that kind of thing. It's the filter that goes through the air in your car.
Yeah.
And I didn't know it needed changed. I'm an ignoramus, I guess. And it was completely black. So she's like, yes, whatever that is, get rid of it. Put a new one in.
See, now you're going to start breathing better.
You know what? Now that I got exactly. Now that I got that and the fact that I'm sucking down terrible tasting cough drops, but at least I'm doing it, I should be fine in about 2 weeks. Don't you think?
Exactly. Yeah.
Lingering cough. Ridiculous. All right. So over the weekend, again, a lot of college football games that matter and football NFL games, you know, had some impact. The NASCAR Cup Series ran its season finale. And we talked about this with Jeff Hammond last week. NASCAR does their playoffs a little weird than other auto racing series that use a cumulative points system. You know, you keep racing, you get points, and at the end of the season, who has the most points? But NASCAR does a playoff, and you race during the regular season, and then you get to the playoff, and then you win races in the playoff to advance to every single round. And you could be the hottest driver heading into round three, but if you don't qualify for the finals, you don't qualify for the finals, just like any other postseason in sports. And it's worked for them. People seem to enjoy it, those who are in, you know, the NASCAR community. But the finale was held on Sunday in Phoenix, and there were four drivers that were up for the title. There was Denny Hamlin. There was Martin Truex Jr. There was Chase Elliott, who won last year. And then there was Kyle Larson. Now, Kyle Larson had the best season of any NASCAR driver in the field. He won, I think, 10 races, but more importantly, he won 5 of the 10 playoff races, including the season finale. Now, you don't have to win the season finale to win the championship. You just have to do better than the other three guys that are in the running. He took care of that by just simply winning the race. Now, I bring him up because he is a redemptive story. If you remember when we were under COVID restrictions and sports was shut down completely, remember NASCAR decided that they were going to do e-racing events, remember, where drivers were going to get on their video games and race at different tracks? And they were all hooked up to their headsets and their microphones, and they were kind of trash-talking each other a little bit and having fun. It was sort of this window into their world while they were racing these simulation video games. Larson was the driver, if you remember, that used the N-word in a offbeat conversation. And he was fired from his team. He was fired from his – a talented young driver. He was completely fired from the team he was on. And he went about it in a way that you would want to see. He realized his mistake. He went out and you know, he tried to make amends. He apologized to anybody that he could. And he basically was like, I want to continue my career, but I know I severely damaged it. And he got a second chance. He got a second chance to race, and he made the most of that second chance. He literally went from fired NASCAR driver in disgrace to NASCAR champion in a span of, what, 18 months? I think that was April of 2020. It's a real, true redemption story. And I know maybe people still feel like, you know, yeah. But the reality is he did make a mistake. And the reality is that you won't find anybody who is more willing to rectify that mistake than Kyle Larson. And I know we get a little skeptical sometimes because, yeah, there's a lot of money on the line and a career on the line and doing it for those kind of reasons. But I think the people that interacted with him, and I wasn't, you know, I didn't interact with him, but I read enough about this sort of backstory to Kyle Larson. I remember talking about it at the time it happened. And I remember thinking at the time, man, in the age we're living in now, cancel culture is everywhere and whatnot, did he really throw away a career? Like, will he never drive again? Will he find his way in some, you know, some racetrack in Iowa somewhere? It's like, that used to be NASCAR driver Kyle Larson, but he's trying to resurrect his career. Like a ball player playing semi-pro ball in Montana. Well, Larson did get a second chance, and he utilized that second chance. But it also, again, it highlights, because he won the championship, it highlights what he did and how he apologized and overcame it. Just thought I'd bring it to your attention. A lot of football to get to, but NASCAR closed its series, and their champion did have a story to tell.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life.
Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue with Wake Up Call. By the way, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. College basketball started last night, games across the country. I am a huge college basketball fan. I've loved college basketball forever. I buy the magazines. I listen to all the preseason talk and all that. And I follow it as close as I do other sports, if not a little bit closer. There's something about college basketball I've always enjoyed ever since I was a kid. Two things about that. I'm not very good when it comes to picking the NCAA tournament bracket. And two, even though I really love college hoops, it takes me a while before I'm really into it during the season. Like, I'll watch some of the beginning tournaments, like some of the games. Last night, my brother and I were, you know, arrived in Florida and we were kind of winding down. He really wanted to see Kentucky against Duke. Of course, I wanted to see Kentucky Duke. But I'll watch, like, maybe the Battle for Atlantis or the Maui Invitational. Like, it's around the holidays. I like that. But I don't really get really rolling into college hoops until probably mid-January. I know it's really late to get into something, but I've seen teams go like 11-0 to start the season playing absolutely nobody. And then, you know, they get to their ACC schedule, and that's where the games start to matter a little bit. But because of the postseason for college basketball, it is not a throw up your hands and scream kind of sport when it comes to outcomes. Like, my brother's team, Kentucky, of course he wanted to beat Duke last night, right? Kentucky Duke is, you know, they've had some pretty good history. But I don't think he's sweating Kentucky's, you know, chances with the talent they had because they lost at Madison Square Garden last night. Right? I mean, it's not on the same level. So that being said, you know, this is the time where, you know, you're really going to start seeing a little bit more of these sort of matchups and whatnot. Matchup last night, though, and there was an interesting tweet. Darren Rovell had this, and he does a lot of gambling tweets. But I wanted your thoughts on this, Ron, because I found this kind of a fun. My brother and I were having this conversation on the way down. So Gonzaga was playing Dixie State last night, and a bettor took $50,000 and bet on Gonzaga to win the game outright. No spread. Win by one, win by 70, doesn't matter. Now, because you have to put in a lot of money to win any money on a game similar to that, because Gonzaga is likely to win, he put $50,000. His result on that bet was $716. So my brother and I had this bet, this conversation. Is that a good strategy to just consistently make money? Or do you think eventually the $50,000 is going to go away? Someone somewhere is going to upset your cupcake game to make you go, oh, the $50,000 is down the drain.
So basically what you're talking about is somewhere down the line is a Virginia Chaminade.
Right, exactly. So, you know, nobody thought Dixie State was going to beat Gonzaga. Dixie State knew they weren't going to beat Gonzaga.
And there probably wasn't a spread. So it was probably one of those that Vegas was like, uh-uh.
So he got the money line bet, $50,000 to win $700. Now, I obviously would say, look, my brother's point was, if you have $50,000 available for one bet, what do you need $700 for?
Yeah.
But I agreed with him. Like, if you're willing to sacrifice $50,000 for one bet, then you probably don't need $700. But what if you just went, like, what if I gave an average person, like, work, you know, working class guy and, you know, whatever, young, maybe even a young person making, I don't know, 45 grand a year or something. And I said, here's $50,000, but you can't spend it on anything. This is your money. This is your seed money for betting. You pick a college basketball game every week. And you bet the money line with this, and that's what you're going to make every single week. So if you want to make $200 and you take the number one team against somebody, you know, $700, I mean, number one team against a nobody, fine. You want to maybe a little bit riskier where that $50,000 might get you $5,000 in a close game. It's up to you. But just pick solid, straight-up money line, no spread, straight-up money line bet, and you can make a living. I think eventually that $50,000, you'd lose it. I think there would be a moment you would go, shoot, I'm out. I don't think you can consistently do it.
Wasn't there a basketball upset like last year or 2 years ago? That was being compared to Virginia Chaminade.
Oh, God, yes. I'm
totally blanking on who it was. Right, yeah. I think maybe it was in a, like, involved Duke or Kentucky or something.
I think it might have been Duke. I think it might have been Duke. Because Duke had a rough year with COVID and all that last year. Remember, they like a player left, one of their top players left, and he quit the team. And then they just had COVID. They didn't even play in the tournament, if I'm not mistaken. They were out. But it was just an interesting kind of thought process. I was like, you know, just to make a little money compared to the 50,000, but he didn't lose 1 second of sleep thinking he was going to lose the $50,000. That was not a winnable game for Dixie State. But college basketball is sneaky. You just never know what happens. But even the Chaminade Virginia upset, what a lot of people don't know about that is there were a couple of factors that went in Chaminade's favor. And this is what can happen if you're not a savvy guy when it comes to these kind of games. There were three things that went down in that that classic upset of Chaminade beating Virginia. And as you know, Ron, living in the great state of Hawaii, Chaminade is a small school on the Hawaiian Islands.
Yeah.
And what Virginia was the number one team in the country. They were led by Ralph Sampson, of course. The team was going, they went to Japan to play games in Japan. They scheduled the Chaminade game on the way back. So they were like, you know, instead of flying all the way back, let's stop in Hawaii for a few days. Let's play Chaminade. Let's give them some money. I guess that's even back in the early 80s, teams were probably still doing that. Let's just get a basketball game under our belt. We've got the number one team in the country. It'll be a big deal. We'll be in Hawaii for a couple of days, and we'll be fine. So that's how that was scheduled. But there were three factors in play. One was the trip to Japan. It was a long trip to Japan. It was a long trip back. Two, Ralph Sampson got sick. He got sick on that trip. But the third thing, and a lot of people kind of forgot about this, was that Chaminade had a guard that had played against Ralph Sampson in high school and sort of had an idea how teams played against Ralph Sampson-led teams. You know, and so he sort of said, you know, hey, look, there's a strategic element here that we can do that gives us a fighting chance, even if it's a real long shot against the number one. It just happened to work. Now, would those three factors, would you still take Virginia? Of course you would. Even Ralph Sampson being sick, long road trip. And even if a guy went, hey, I'm very, very familiar with Ralph Sampson and his tendencies. But those three factors would sort of scare moneyline bettors, maybe, going, well, I don't know, it's a little risky there. Maybe it would, maybe it wouldn't. I don't know. I don't remember anybody saying that about Dixie State last night. I don't think they were like, Gonzaga's really tired from a, I don't know, weird off season. And by the way, two players on Dixie State, they played against all the Gonzaga guys. And they know, you know, nobody, Dixie State was like, oh my God, I can't believe we're going to get a shot at number one Gonzaga. The guy won $700 laying down 50 grand, you know? So, but I'm with you though.
I just don't think that's a safe bet. I mean, it's a safe bet, but eventually, if you keep doing things like that, eventually it will bite you.
Absolutely. And by the way, I would never advise this for like the NFL or the NBA. Like NBA is the worst. The NBA is the worst because really good NBA teams are like, I don't even know what city I'm in. Screw it. I'm not even going to play. Like, they're notorious for that. Like, that's why you can get like an Orlando Magic beating a Utah Jazz. Because Utah woke up at the hotel going, we're in where again? We're in Orlando. Okay, great. Because we're on the 7-game road trip.
Wasn't it?
I don't even know what city I'm in.
Wasn't it Cardinals Niners on Sunday? The Cardinals didn't even. They just rested everybody. Which you don't ever see in football. You see that in other sports. Like, especially basketball, they'll rest players on certain nights and things like that. But I don't remember really ever seeing in football except for. Well, I guess
imagine if it tried...
week 17 or 18 this year when they rest players.
Yeah, right. When they finally rest players. Yeah. But imagine trying to cover all your like college football losses on Saturday by going, all right, fine. I'll take all my money and I'll do a straight up money line bet on Buffalo. They should clobber Jacksonville. Right. Well, guess what? You'd be looking for part-time work. Right. You know, just to make it up. That's the fallacy here. But again, it just, you know, I know Darren Revelle promotes a gambling sort of venue that he's with. And these are kind of fun little things. But it really made me think, would I trust these Cinderella like games to not go Cinderella to make a consistent amount of money, albeit small, by risking an overly large amount of money? You know, But as I said at the top of the hour last hour, I'm glad I got to see the game last night. I'm glad we made it in on time and sort of settled in and watched. I think we caught it just before halftime and watched the second half. And Duke won by 8. They looked really fantastic. Trevor Keels was great. Mike Krzyzewski in his final season at Duke. And I'll probably see as many Duke games as I possibly can. I was rooting for Duke. I'm not a Duke fan. I can't remember ever pulling for Duke ever at one point. But if there's one coach that I warmed up to over the years, it's Mike Krzyzewski. I like him.
Love him. At the beginning of the show too. I mean, you know, I don't know Duke without Krzyzewski.
Right, exactly.
I don't think anyone knows Duke without Krzyzewski.
Is there any other? I mean, there's really nobody to, like, in my lifetime, there's no one at Paramount. There's nobody that I saw coach at 10 years old that here I am now and I'm still watching the guy do his job. Like, that's what my brother and I were talking about. I was like, I think I've told this story. When I was 13, I had a paper route. And one of the houses on my paper route was a guy who played for like some 1960 Duke team that won a title they played against UCLA and Lou Alcindor. He was on that team. So I remember the local paper did like a bit on him when Duke made it to the Final Four. They kind of went and did an interview with him. His name was Tim Koloje. And I remember telling my brother, I was like, that was a lifetime ago. And that guy's still the coach of this team, the same team, not a coach that's been in the game since the 80s, multiple jobs. I mean, a guy that has been at the same place for 40 plus years, and for pretty much the entire 40 years that he's been there, they've been a real significant presence. I know there was a couple of years he had the back injury, and you know, there were a couple of years that kind of got away from him. But let's be honest, Duke has been a college football, basketball power from the mid 80s to now. Who else in your lifetime in any coaching profession has done that?
I mean, going both sports. I mean, I guess the only other comparison right now would be Nick Saban, what he's done with Alabama, where year in and year out, you're just like, well, you know, which three teams are going to join Alabama?
Yeah, but here's the strange thing about that. Saban arrived in Alabama in 2007.
Yeah.
Like Krzyzewski arrived at Duke in like 1980.
And, it, you know, he's got what, like almost like 15 years more on him.
He almost got fired. Like his first couple of years were terrible. He almost got fired. I don't know. Real quick before we go to break, do you think Krzyzewski warrant in the ACC again some of the deep rivalries? He warrants a Derek Jeter tour, right? Like he should. Like even
he
at North
should.
Carolina, like yeah. North Carolina should. It's a great rivalry. They hate each other, but I think there's enough respect for Coach K that every last ACC stop
or even if
on
not,
his schedule,
even if,
they should
even if you're North Carolina, at least, you know, maybe cheer and celebrate him because he's gone.
Maybe
you
so, know? Right?
Maybe yeah. Maybe you're singing the Wicked Witch, you know, song the Munchkin sang when the witch was dead.
Yeah, I really hope he doesn't become Bear Bryant. Bear Bryant died 6 months after coaching. He retired and he felt like there was a purpose to his life that was taken away. And there was people sort of romanticized that. Mike Krzyzewski, I can't imagine being at the same place for 40 years and every single memory and every single thing and knowing that it's coming to an end. I think he's ready for it to come to an end, but what a resume of basketball that guy has put together. Not only the collegiate level, but Team USA. Remember the rumor he was going to be a Laker coach? Remember that rumor for a while?
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot of stuff about Coach
Kobe wanted him.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this hour, Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage to fit your life? Rocket can. We'll have top five and bottom five coming up in the next hour because we missed it on Tuesday because I was out. Yeah, and then tomorrow, Jerry Palm will join us and we'll talk college football. And remember, I haven't done Jerry in last two Thursdays due to circumstances. But remember when last time I talked to him and I said, I don't want to get you into the head of the committee And he said, oh, well, you can because that's what I do for a living.
Yep.
Well, now I want to get into the head of the committee. So Jerry Palm better come through with that. Mike Tenier is going to also join us coming up in hour number three. We'll talk some NFL. It's going to be all NFL next hour. Real quick, I did want to point out one thing about college basketball. Our big hopes and prayers for Dick Vitale is going in for some chemo treatments. He's been posting stuff on Twitter about it. I will tell you, I love Dick Vitale. I know, he's a cliche, and I get it. You know why I like Dick Vitale, and I'll give you a simple reason why I like it. He loves college basketball, and all he wants to do, Ron, is help you love it more. That's all he wants. That's all he wants. He wants you to love it a little bit more than you did before he got in.
It's fair to say he's probably more known as an analyst than a coach.
Oh, yeah, without question.
I mean, we're even in the biz. I can't think of the team he coached.
It was Detroit.
That's right. Yeah.
But he's, listen, whether it is soccer, cricket, racing, golf, you know, any of the other, any sport, I don't care what it is, college basketball. If you are an analyst and you love that sport and you let that love come through, I will respect that. I respect Dick Vitale's love for college basketball. I haven't agreed with him all the time. I thought he was very heavily favored with Duke for a number of years. But we're going to wish him well because I want to talk Vitale good.